announcement to anybody who was interested, you know, to try to go on such short notice to let us know. And Katie Lowry was very interested. And thanks to the, you know, your generosity, that trip was able to be fully funded, and that's great. Anyway, she had a time. Some of the time she had was a little rough, especially the first couple of days. And anyway, would you just welcome Katie? She's going to tell you about the trip. Amen.
So first, the Lord's put this on my heart to do this before I get started, because it's really emotional for me. And so I would just like to, in the Lord's house, to lift up praise to Him and Him alone for the reversal of Roe versus Wade. I'd just like to praise Him, just praise Him, just praise Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's just, there's a lot of people being saved right now, and there's going to be a great revival for it. I'm just really emotional about it because babies, yay babies. So, okay, sorry. All right, so I do have some notes. I do have a cold, but who cares, right? So, and I have notes, so please just bear with me. I just don't want to miss anything because it was such a wonderful trip, and I just want to make sure you hear every single ounce of it. About 6 months ago, the trip was only known about 6 weeks before the actual trip, like known to everyone to go. And so about 6 months ago, before I ever knew about the trip, when I would hear someone was going to Africa, I would get like teary and jealous. It was like really weird. I don't know where it came from, but I just, one of my friend's husbands went, and I just was like, told Robert, I was like, I want to go to Africa. Like, I want to see God's power and all the things you hear that is so awesome and all the things, you know, you read about it in all the books. And then my parents are going to Africa, and they told me randomly, and I'm like, I want to go to, you know, I'm crying. It's like a thing, and I don't know where it's coming from, and it's just weird. And anyway, so then we get the email about the front porch, and Robert's like, you know you have to go, right? And I'm like, no. You know, like, I've never been apart from my children, like, ever for, like, a day. Like, never been apart and all the things, right? And he was extremely encouraging and was like, no, you need to go. No, you need to go. And so we prayed about it. And we don't hear personally, like, booming God voices like, you need to go, you know. So we did the Gideon fleece thing and put out fleeces because we had no money to go. We literally drained savings to buy the plane ticket before we took up offerings from you generous people. And so we didn't know where the rest of the money was going to come from. I was just going to go with, like, a little book bag, and I don't even know what I was going to eat. Anyway, so So we prayed about it. I asked the Lord to give me dreams or visions or, you know, words of knowledge. And the Lord gave me a dream where Robert was driving, and I was in the car, and I was pregnant, which in a dream sometimes means that it's ministry, birthing. And it was, and I was driving up to a resort, and there was this beautiful resort with a pool. And there was presumably a Ugandan family there, and there was literally a spotlight on them. And that was the end of the dream, and it was like, okay, I think I'm supposed to go. So you're going to hear not just, like, logistical and practical things, but I would like to share with you my journey and the spiritual realm, which is a very real realm that we exist in, that in which the Lord speaks to us and tells us really wonderful things when we ask, because we, you know, when we ask, He gives freely and without reproach. And so so I put out fleeces. I didn't even have my passport valid. My passport was 5-6 years out of date. So, Lord, if it be your will, may the passport come through. And if not, may it fall to the ground. And I get it in the mail. And Robert's like, okay. The Lord said yes. So, and then I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for the offering. It was over in abundance. And it provided everything. And it was just, the trip was literally not going to happen unless it's from your generosity. And so I thank you from the bottom of my heart for that. I also prayed before the trip because I wanted Robert and I to kind of stay on the same spiritual page. I didn't want to go to Africa and come back all like, wee, and then, you know, he's like, I don't know, sick and taking care of the kids, and it's like a thing. So I prayed that he would have one day in the future have this opportunity. And literally 2 weeks before I left, we got a call from my uncle, who's involved in African ministries, and he asked Robert to go to Africa with him in August. So that was an answer to prayer for me, because that's something now he can experience. And I was like, ha, now you have to go. And so, no, but it's going to be wonderful. It'll be great. So it's just the Lord's really been answering prayer, and it's just been phenomenal. So another thing is the Lord gave me a word, or actually gave Robert a word that he gave to me that came from 1 Samuel. David was, with his men, was battling the Amalekites, and there were men that had to stay back with the supplies. And when they won victoriously and had all the spoils of war, all the men that fought didn't want to give anything to the men that had to stay with the supplies. They wanted to keep everything for themselves. And from that day forth, David set a decree that said, from this day forth, and in the Bible it says, and it even continues to this day, where he says, no, we will always share in the spoils. Whoever goes and whoever stays will share equally in the spoils. And so I believe that there are spiritual spoils that you might not even be aware of, that I'm not aware of, we might be aware of. Lord is going to impart upon you because of this trip, it just in the name of Jesus, because it says so in the Bible, and if it says it, we believe it. So it's there. So that's going to be a thing. Okay. So the day we traveled, I traveled to Chicago, and then from Chicago to Doha, and then Doha to Entebbe. And Bishop Chuck, I went with Karen Welch, who's an administrator with Aslan Roars over in Selma, with Father Tuck Bowen, who is the rector of a church in New Hope, Alabama, with Father Chris Newcomb, who is a member of a church in Asheville, a CEC church in Asheville, and then with Bishop Chuck Jones. He missed his flight because they couldn't get the door to shut in Montgomery on the plane, and he sat in the plane for 3 hours, and he missed all of his connections everywhere, and he arrived a day late. And what this helped us with, because me and Karen are like type A, you know, like, oh, everything's falling apart, you know, is commending everything to the Lord. So we started commending everything to the Lord, commend it to the Lord, give it to the Lord, commend it to the Lord. And there was a reason. There was a reason. We don't know why, but there was, we commended it to him, and we had such peace, and the Lord gave us peace and all of those things. And he arrived, and it was fine, and it was good. So one thing I wanted to mention was during the flight, this is just like pictures of, I think that's the Atlantic Ocean, and that's Doha, Qatar, at the bottom. One thing I wanted to mention is Robert had a vision while I was on the way over. And we hadn't researched, maybe I'm supposed to do this, but I didn't like look up pictures of Uganda and figure out where I'm going. I just wanted to just show up and just see it. So it's kind of old school, but I just want to show up and be surprised. So I didn't know what the terrain was like. I didn't know if it was like, savanna, like elephants, or if it was like tropical rainforest. I didn't know what it looked like. And I didn't know how I was getting around. I didn't know if we were taking vans or buses or Uber or whatever. I don't know what they have over there. And so Robert had a vision of the angel of destruction, which sounds terrible, but it's not. So it's the angel that came to Joshua. And Joshua's like, oh, you're here. Are you here for us, or are you here for them? I'm not here for anybody. I'm here for God. And so it's the same angel that came to David. And so Robert had this vision of the angel of destruction over a beautiful, lush area with a bus going through like a dirt road. Didn't know how we were traveling, what it looked like. And it was this idea that if you're on the Lord's side, like this is a really good thing, right? Like so it was this idea that the angel of destruction was keeping us protected. He was keeping us safe. And I'm telling you right now, I felt safer in the entire time I was in Africa than I feel in like the Newton Walmart. Like I'm not kidding. Like I felt this like, you guys know what I'm talking about. I felt this like, I mean, I can't explain the peace and the safety and the security I felt. And it was because I think in part to that angel. And so I think Robert painted it because he likes to paint and he paints his visions. And so this is the bus and this is the green and this is the angel just like protecting us. So I just thought it was really cool. It was very comforting to me. I shared it with the team members. It was comforting to them. And what you're going to find is that this is exactly what Uganda looks like, and that's exactly what the bus looked like, even though Robert had no clue. So it's cool how God works in these things, and I want to make sure you know that he does these things all the time for us and shares these things with us. So let's see. Okay. So next, what's the next slide? Okay. So I land in Entebbe, and I look, when you land in planes, a lot of times you see houses and buildings and everywhere you go, you see how, the thing. Well, when I landed in Entebbe, it was, it looked like scorched earth. It looked charred. It looked, there was fog. We got in at 7 a.m., so there's fog settling into the valleys. and there was these little tiny plumes of smoke coming up, and it made me very emotional, but I don't know why, and I kind of still don't know why it made me emotional, but it just looked like a completely alien terrain, something I'd never seen before, and I think it helped me to kind of realize that I was in a little bit of a different place than I've experienced before. And that's it. That's Entebbe. So we stayed in the first really 4 days. There wasn't a lot of ministry because, as you're going to see, day five, Bishop Chuck spoke at the Martyrs' Day celebration that was on Friday, and I'll talk about that in just a second. So we stayed in very Western-style hotels, so it wasn't like deep in the jungle of Africa. So it was actually kind of hard because when you're there and you're like, okay, I'm ready to minister, I'm ready to pray, I'm ready to do the things, and then you're like, eating like fish and staying in an air-conditioned room, and you're like, what am I doing here? Like, this isn't Africa. So this is where we stayed, and it was beautiful and nice and lovely, and I'm not upset about it. But anyway, stayed that for the first couple days. There's a random monkey I thought you'd like to see in the. He's a little guy right there. Anyway, they'd come and take your food while you ate. It was great. It's like squirrels or pigeons, I guess, over there. They have lots of. Anyway, okay. See, keep going. Okay, so day four, we traveled to Kampala. So Entebbe is where the airport is. Kampala is the capital city. This is a view from about like a panoramic view from the balcony. Kampala comprises of seven hills, and the cities are kind of built upon these hills. It's the capital of Uganda. There's a very large Christian population there, a very large Anglican population there, that little thing up front is a water treatment plant for the hotel. But we're in Kampala because it's the Martyrs' Day celebration. It's a national holiday. The Anglican Church is the official church of Uganda, and they celebrate Martyrs' Day, which is a celebration of the martyrs in the late 1800s. They were Catholic and Anglican who died for Jesus. They died for the cause, for Christ. And so it's celebrated. Everyone takes off. It's a national holiday. Everyone doesn't go to work. Everyone stays home. And they have pilgrims that come to the main area where the big shrine is, the Catholic shrine, and they have celebrations, and they have concerts, and they have sermons, and all these things. And our communion, the Charismatic Episcopal Communion, is part of Christian Ecumenical Council of Uganda. So the Anglicans and the Catholics weren't keen on allowing the Charismatic Episcopal Church to do communion or to take part in their celebrations, and so they made their own kind of organization that comprises, it's a couple of Anglican and Roman offshoots, a couple of Orthodox offshoots, and then the CEC. It's a wonderful organization. They do lots of really wonderful things. And so they had their own celebration, which I think might be, that's just for Kampala. Okay. So there were about 1,000 people here in this kind of pole tent, pole barn. And some of these people traveled for days, literally days, walked to get to this place for the celebration. Celebration lasted 2 days, and in America, if a celebration lasted, it'd be like 9 to 5, and then you go home and you sleep, and then you come back and it's like 9 to 5. So they handed me the program, and the program was literally 48 hours of programming. So it was like 10 p.m., 3 a.m., there's somebody up there preaching, 4 a.m., there's somebody up, 5 a.m., there's somebody. I mean, it was literally 48 hours of programming, which I thought was just fantastic. I thought it was amazing. So they would sleep here. They sometimes would go off and find guest houses to sleep in. It just depended. But I just wanted to show you, this is the processional of all of the African bishops and Bishop Chuck. I don't think you can see Bishop Chuck, but this is the processional. There's a high school band that played for the processional. So. This high school band, and they all processed in, and they played for like 20 minutes. I mean, it took a long time to get like 75 bishops on stage. It was a lot of people. So they processed in, but it was wonderful. They were playing their drums and everything. It was really neat. It was really cool to see. So Bishop Chuck spoke. He was the guest. He was the main speaker for this event. So he spoke, And he spoke about living, about Christ living his life through us, how, you know, we are nothing, the fact that we are dead to our flesh and like Christ lives within us and Christ daily can live his life through us. And that's what he spoke to the people. He also spoke of Romans 12:1, which talks about, and let me make sure I get it right, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, and this is your true and proper worship. And so he looked up the words, therefore I urge you, and it wasn't just Paul urging them, it was Paul begging them on his knees. Okay, so Paul literally, I beg you to offer yourselves as a living sacrifice. This is pure and holy worship. And so in the next slide, that's him. That's him up on the at the pulpit. And then in the next slide, I want to show you this. This is just it was just amazing. And the Holy Spirit was just all over it. He's had a hard time with his leg, and so it's hard for him to move. But he got down off the stage, and he came down and he got on his knees in front of the African people, and he begged them. He said, "I beg you." To offer yourselves, and he just submitted himself. You know, I think a lot of times they see the people are wonderful, and I'll talk about them in a minute, but sometimes I think it's seen like the white people come in, and they, you know, and they're haughty doing this and that, and, you know, they come in, they're official and all the things, and he literally put himself on his knees and just said, I beg you. And so it was wonderful. I think it really touched the people. The people responded well, and it was really cool. And that's Father Chris over on the left that came with us on the trip. All right, that's the bus. Oh, another thing about that. So we wanted times to pray. We wanted to be able to pray for people, but they wouldn't, for whatever reason, time constraints or otherwise, they wouldn't let us do that. So as Bishop Chuck processed out, people were flocking to him and just wanted to touch him, okay? So he's being touched by like hundreds and hundreds of people. And he tried to bless as many as he could. You know, I bless you, I bless you, I bless you, I bless you, I bless you. Well, one woman that he blessed was blind in one eye, and she became healed in the name of Jesus. Like completely healed. And she was like 80 or 90 years old, and she'd been blind her entire life in that eye, and she was healed. So I thought that was really cool. So anyway, all right, next slide. Now we're leaving for Bundibugyo. Which is over by the Congolese border, and it takes about 10 hours to get there. Luckily, we have a bus, which looks a lot like the bus from the vision that we're at. Luckily, the roads 5 years ago were paved from Kampala to Bundibugyo, so that's really good. They're a little bumpy. Villages are every about 1 or 2 miles, and they have speed bumps in the villages so that people don't just, like, speed through and murder people, so... Every village you have to stop and stop and stop and stop. So it's like this, okay, that's where my sickness started, was on the bus. They said it had air conditioning, but it didn't work, so it was open to air, but it was very breezy, so it was good. So, okay, so I just share with you the journey. It's not a flock, a herd. Of longhorn, like, steers, I don't know, cows. Their horns were like this long, but they were just like hanging out in the road, and we had to wait for them to leave and move. All right, you can go to the next one. And then, so these are the homes that they live in. Most of them live in I saw about 50-50, either live in these brick homes where they make their own bricks and their own mortar, these brick homes, or these mud huts. But they're very clean and very, like, well taken care of. And then you keep going. So, and then the way they get around are with bodabodas, which are these motorcycles, these small, like, 250 motorcycles. And that's how they get from, like, village to village, point A to point B. That's how that's how they have most of their transport. Yeah, this is just more very green, very lush. Uganda's beautiful. It is lush and green, and there's palm trees and banana plants, and it's an absolutely beautiful country. And then that's a random baboon that comes up to the car, and you can feed him, and they're like, don't feed him. And she has a baby on her, yeah, but there's a little tiny baby, like, on her belly. That's really cute. Anyway, okay, so this is coming up. So you come up to right about 20 miles before Bundibugyo is the mountain range. And it is it's one of those, like, you look at it and you cry. It's like, if you've ever looked at something that was so beautiful that it, like, it brought tears to your eyes, that's what this is. It's the most beautiful mountain range you've ever seen. And this obviously does, like, no justice to it, but it goes on for, like, miles, and it is just, like, it's absolutely beautiful. I mean, it's gorgeous. So that's what we drove through to get there. Okay, not yet. So we arrive in Bubukwanda, which is about 7 miles outside of Bundibugyo. And all of a sudden, no one warned me or told me what would happen. So I hear all this noise and all this ruckus, and I'm like, it's dark. It gets dark around 7 p.m. right now there, so it gets dark lit earlier. And it's dark, and I'm like, what's going on? And there's literally hundreds of people from Bubukwanda that have come to meet us and greet us. And they are singing, and they are dancing, and they're waving palms, and they are just, the bus pulls up, and we stop in the middle of the road, and they come up to the bus, and they just have the biggest smiles on their faces, and there's so much joy. They're so joyful. I can't describe the joy that is in their faces. They're just so happy to see Bishop Chuck. They're so happy to see us. They're just so happy to see us, and they're singing, these wonderful worship songs, because I ask later, like, what are they singing? And it's all, like, worship songs and praising God and praising him, and they're just worshiping, and these children, there's just this exuberance that is coming out, and it's coming out of all of them. I thought there'd be, like, some random people in the corner that were, like, looking, you know, upset, but you look as far as you can see, and these people are smiling and cheering, and it was very overwhelming to me. I gasped and was like, I'd never experienced something like that before. So it was absolutely amazing. And so they give us a police escort and we go like 5 miles an hour for the next 7 miles. And there's people in these trucks, and they're hanging off the trucks, and they're like shouting with megaphones, and they're yelling, and apparently they're just saying, like, welcome, they're here, they're here, they're here. And they're like telling people we're here, and they're just shouting, and they're just the joy on their faces is just, it's just, I've never seen anything like it. It was absolutely phenomenal. And so they escort us to Bundibugyo, and we get off the bus, and then there's more people. There's just so many people that are excited and happy, and we get off the bus, and they're hugging us, and this woman comes up to me, and she just gives me this hug, just this huge hug, and I don't know who she is, and they're like, that's Bishop Hannigan's wife. I'm like, oh, okay. And she's wonderful, and she just this look on her face, and I just hug her. I'm like, she's just like hugging your grandma. It's like, oh, I love you so much, you know. And they're just wonderful people. And they lead us into Bishop Hannigan, who's been here. I think in 2017 he came. And we go to his church, like his rectorship that's there, and they have like a whole little ceremony for us. It's not a church service, but they do sing songs of adoration and things, but it's more of a welcoming type thing. And people have ribbons, and they've put ribbons all over the church, and they're just, it's like 8, 9 o'clock at night, and they're just happy. They're just happy that we're there. And so then they give us a feast. Yeah, that's that night. They give us a feast. I mean, they just put out goat stew, which is amazing, by the way. If you've never had it, it's really good. They use lots of cinnamon and cloves and things in their food, and it was just really good. And plantain and chapati and all these things that they lay out, and a huge feast. I mean, this woman, they cook over a fire. Like, they have electricity, but it's literally like one bulb in the middle of the room. They don't have like stoves and refrigerators, and they have like the fire. They cook on the fire, and you can tell it by the meat. Oh my gosh, it is like, it is the best. It's really good. But anyway, they cook all this food for you, and it's very welcoming. So this is the next day. This is the guest house we're staying in. It's not air conditioned, but they have a fan, which is very exciting that they had a fan. You have no idea. Well, maybe you do. Some of you do, but anyway. Okay, so let me make sure I'm not forgetting anything. So this is Pentecost, and I'm like really excited to be experiencing Pentecost with these people, because I wanted to see God's power. And what I'm finding as I'm going is that he's the same God there that he's here. And the only thing different are the people a little bit, but what's cool is that can change. Like, we can become like them. Like, I've as I went over there, you know, people, they're destitute, but I want to emulate them. because they're so, you'll see as we go, as we talk about it. But anyway, they're just a really cool people. They're wonderful people. So anyway, that's a picture of it. So that's just another, that's where we ate our breakfast. One piece of bread and two hard-boiled eggs. That's what we got for breakfast each day. Okay, so Karen took that, good mercy. So we had Pentecost Sunday, and we arrive at the street, and the church is about, I don't know, like a 2/10 of a mile, you know, a 3/10 of a mile. It's a good walk down. And we get off the bus, and as you'll see, you can go ahead and play the video. They're singing, and they're happy, and they're dancing. Let's see if it plays. I hope it plays. It's cool. That's Bishop Chuck in the Bishop Chuck in the pink.
Yes, and I got your side.
So they're picking up this fabric, and from the bus all the way to the church, they put fabric down for Bishop Chuck to walk on. And so he would walk on a piece, and there'd be a piece behind, and a child would come, and they'd throw it up to the front, and they'd put down a piece. And he literally walked on this beautiful fabric all the way to the church. And the people were singing, and they were dancing, and they have these harmonies. You know, there's no music, like, and then they harmonize, and it's so natural to them to harmonize. It's the most beautiful sound. It's just this, because I guess they're kind of required to. I mean, you know, if you don't have a lot of instruments, I mean, they have some instruments, but you know, it's just they use their voices in a way that is just, it's just beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. It's like hearing angels. It's beautiful. So that's Father Tuck Bowen, and he ministered to the kids. He liked to minister to the kids, and so he prayed over the children. And I just thought this was cool because they do sound checks, and they mess up stuff too, just like we do. You know? So, this is their church. That was the worship team that was up front. Women in these beautiful dresses, and they lead the worship. And the worship songs are wonderful. And actually, they sing some songs we sing, which I was like, what? And which I just thought was cool. Hosanna, they sing As the Deer. They sing a couple different ones that we've done before. I'm like, I think they do it even when we're not there, I think. So anyway, but it was a wonderful service. Bishop Chuck, it was Pentecost, so he spoke of having a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit, of there being a fresh wind brought to their congregation by the Holy Spirit. He encouraged them after adoration to just sing out their personal adoration to the Lord. So some of them did it in their native tongue. Some of them spoke in tongues and did it, sang in tongues. And you could just feel, you know, you just feel the Spirit. You could just feel, it wasn't different than here. You know, I expected to go over there and there'd be like, I'm slain on the ground. And they're like, Spirit, this is wonderful, you know. But it's the same Spirit. It's the same God, it's the same Spirit, it's the same Christ that's there is here. It's the same one, okay? So I felt the Spirit as I feel the Spirit here, and it was good. Like, it was good, and I knew this, and Bishop Chuck gave lots of words of knowledge. You know, the deacon whose children were taken by the Congolese rebels, thank you, by the rebels. So he got his sons back, but his daughters were sold off into marriage to the rebels, and they're still gone, and they're still missing, so we're still praying for them. Bishop Chuck had never seen the deacon. He didn't know what he looked like. And during this word of knowledge kind of processional, as he was walking around the church, he was giving different words to people. He had his stole that Bishop Adler had given him. And it was this, he felt, it was highly anointed, like, he loved it. He's worn it, he loves it. And he saw this man that he didn't know who he was, and he said, the Lord is telling me to give you my stole, like to give you this precious stole that Bishop Adler has given me, like to give it to you. And the man's like, okay, and so he takes the stole. And literally not until that night when he was, we were milling about and meeting with people, that he was like, "You're the deacon? Like, you're the guy who's so he ended up giving his stole to the deacon whose children were taken, and he didn't even know that that's who it was. Like, that's the Lord, right? Like, that's the Lord. That's what the Lord does. Like, the Lord knows. And spoke to Bishop Chuck, and then he was able to not only give him a physical piece of cloth, but to give him to, he felt as though he was to pray then for the anointing of the Spirit and the anointing that Bishop Chuck has to be placed upon this man, which I just thought was amazing. I mean, the Lord works in mysterious ways. I just thought it was really neat. Okay, make sure I'm not missing anything. So that night, Father Chris was able to speak on the radio station. So they have a radio station that's throughout Bundibugyo, and he was able to speak and share Christ over the radio, which was really neat. So this is, when I was praying there, I was like about to fall out. So I got traveler sickness, and I got some sort of bacterial infection from food or water. And I was like laid out, worst nausea I've ever had in my life. Like, it was really bad. So I was laid out for the next 36 hours. So this was my view for 36 hours. This is what I saw. So I thought you might like to see what I saw for 36 hours. That's it. So there was a fan there blowing on my face. It was great. But the good thing is, Father is a doctor. And you can get like all the medicines there, all prescriptions. You can just walk into a pharmacy and any prescription without a prescription. You can get anything. It's like, I wanted to like hoard it in my bag, you know. Anyway, you know how it is, right? Like, how much is that? Anyway, you can get malaria pills there for $2, and I had to pay $80. So I'm like, what? Anyway, so I got a Z-Pack, and then I got Zofran, which was nice. So, yay. So, and I was fine after that. I did miss one full day of ministry, unfortunately. I missed when they went to the CEC church, and there were over 1,000 people there. Over 80% of the people were healed of whatever they came for. Amen, amen. And they had a wonderful time there, and it was a great time. They had a great time. Karen stayed back with me. She says, she's like, so I'm going to stay with you, even though she didn't need to, but she it was really kind of her. She stayed back, and she's like, really, I'm doing this because I feel like your husband might kill me if I don't. So, but it was good. But I felt all of your prayers. Like, I really did. I know you were praying for me. And it mattered, and it did something in the Spirit, and I know it did, and it made me well. And I thank you for those prayers. They were very important prayers. So the next day, I got to minister. So they went to a CEC church on Monday, an Anglican church on Tuesday. So on Monday, they went, all of the CEC refugees from the Congo went to the CEC church for help. All of the Anglican refugees went to the Anglican church, for help. Before we did that, though, we went to the CEC church that's in Bubukwanda. And this is their building. This is their church building. This is where they meet every Sunday. And it's very clean, and they're very appreciative of it. For the day, though, they set up at like an outdoor place for us to meet just because there were so many people. We couldn't all fit in this building. And so they set up an outdoor place for us, which I think is in the next slide. So that's the outdoor place that they set up for us. I do want you to hear them singing to us, and we're worshiping together. She was the worship leader, and during this process, they asked everyone in the congregation to give all of us a name, like a Ugandan name, and so they gave Karen Precious One, they gave Father Chris Beloved One, they gave Father Chuck Anointed One, and for me, they said, well, we have two, and you can pick, and they're like talking in Ugandan, so I'm like, I don't know what they're saying. And they're like, you can either pick beautiful or you can pick flower. And so I'm like, well, I'm going to pick beautiful. Like, I don't want to be a flower. So I picked beautiful, and it's Basamata. So they called me Basamata for, like, the rest of the trip because that was the name that they picked for me. So also, Bishop Chuck, he pledged 5 million shillings, which is about $1,400 for them to get a real building. And so they will be built, and apparently $1,400 is enough to build a building. So they're going to build a real building and have a building for all their people. So amen. All right. So this is him with her. She's the one that chose his name, so she got like special treatment because she chose his name. And then this is just more of the people. There were many people healed. We did prayers. We prayed over people. I saw lots of babies with cholera and typhoid and malaria with high fevers. You would pray over them, and they would feel like they're like on fire. And then you would pray over them in the name of Jesus, and then they would feel cold, and the fever would be gone in the name of Jesus. And it was just it was really cool. What's interesting is I thought what Bishop Chuck told us was, he said, it's not you, it's not about you, right? It's not about us. It's Christ in you, and you're just the conduit, and you just have to be a conduit. And I didn't know what that would mean for me. I didn't know if I would feel something magical, and I didn't, and that's good. And I'm glad I didn't, because it's not about our emotions. Faith precedes emotion. It's not about what I feel. It's not about how I feel. It's about faith. It's about Jesus doing his work through us. And so as I prayed for these people, I, for the most part, sometimes I would feel a witness in my spirit over something. But on the whole, most of the time, it was just no emotion tied to it. And it was just believing that the Lord was healing. And he healed. He healed. And so I'm glad that I didn't have the big experience, because it's the same God there that's here. It's the same healing available there that is here. And that's just a fact. It's the same healing available to us. So lots of women that felt like money was coming, they were business women that felt like money was coming out of their hands, like they couldn't keep up with their money. And all of them that came to me didn't tithe or didn't give anything back to the church. And the Bible's pretty clear in Malachi that Lord says to test him in this. And so I told them, I said, you test the Lord and give just like 30 shillings. Like give the Lord a little, and I promise you he's going to multiply what you have. And I have faith, and I believe that they will, and that the Lord will, and the Lord will multiply what they have. One little boy came asking, so everyone's asking for headaches, and they're being gone in the name of Jesus. They're asking for knee pains and back pains. And he comes up to me, and he just says, through the interpreter, I want wisdom. He just wanted wisdom. And I start crying, because I'm like, isn't that like, that's the thing, that's... Right? Like that's what Solomon asked for. Whatever you want, Solomon. And he asked for wisdom. So when I prayed over him, that is the one time I will say that I felt that wisdom. Like the spirit just like the Lord was just pouring into him. And the Lord, I did lots of declaring the plans the Lord has for them. Not for calamity, but for a future and a hope. And I declared it over all of them after I prayed for them. And I feel, and I know, I don't just feel, there's no feel. I know that the Lord, I've declared the plan the Lord has for their life, and it is done in the name of Jesus. Like, it's done. Like, it's done. That's the plan, and that it's done. Okay, so it was, and the same thing that's done there can be done here. And not by me, or you, like, not just by me. Like, if you have Jesus Christ in your heart, all of these, you do all these things because it's Christ within you. You can declare, you can rebuke, you can take control because you have Christ within you. It's not a bishop. A lot of people ask me, these Africans, why do they wait for the white people to come to get healed? They don't. They're healing each other all the time. They are. They're praying over each other all the time. It's like when Bishop Hannigan came. There were people out here till 2:00 in the afternoon. Why? Was it just because Bishop Hannigan can heal? No, of course not. It's because he was our honored guest. It's because we wanted a piece of that anointing, right? We wanted to feel that power that came from him. We wanted the word that came from him. It wasn't because he was special. It was because he was just our honored guest. It was the same thing when we go over there. When our groups go over there, they want to come to us for prayer, not because they don't normally go to their other people for prayer, but just because we're honored guests and they want to take part. Does that make sense? Okay. So go ahead. Sorry. I know I'm going long. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Tick, tick. I know. Sorry. Okay. All right. So we after Bashunga, we went to Bashunga, which is on the other side of Bubukwanda, and it's the Anglican church, and all the Anglican refugees from the Congo are there. So there's probably between 700 and 800 people that were there, and these are the refugees greeting us when we step off the bus. Name That older woman in the middle you just saw, she's blind, okay? And those are the refugees. Those are the people who have no homes. Those are people living in tents. And they're singing, God is big, 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 big. God is big, 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 big. And they're just, they're joyful. Their spirits are just childlike. Over here, childlike is like a cuss word sometimes because we, you know, every aspect of personality can be used for evil or used for good. And so the evil we attribute to childlikeness is naivete or impulsiveness or immaturity. But that's demonic, and we rebuke it in the name of Jesus. The good part of childlikeness is that eager anticipation, that like wonder, that Christmas morning, you know, that's the childlikeness that we want and we can have that's available to us. And that's that they have. That's that eagerness that they have, and it's wonderful to see. So at the next slide, that's them greeting us again, and then this is them in the church. They're spilling out. There's probably another 200 or 300 people outside the church. This is the Anglican church. Just as joyful as you know, all the other people were. And lots of praying for babies, praying for healing. There was a man who was blind, completely blind, and Bishop Chuck prayed over him, and the Lord told him to pray, to sing in the Spirit, to sing in tongues until the glory of the Lord fell upon him. And so he sang, and he sang, and he sang. And all of a sudden, the man's eyes turned white, and he could see. So Bishop Chuck goes like this in front of him, and the guy grabs his hand because he could see it. And so things still looked like trees. If you remember when Jesus healed the man, and the first time they looked like trees, and then Jesus had to do it again. They looked like trees, but he could see light, and he could see motion. And then he kept singing. He kept doing it for a long time, probably over an hour. And he's like, about 4 years ago, a woman named Rose was healed of blindness and completely healed. And they had to leave her too early before the complete healing was done because, you know, we have to go other places, heal or help other people. And so he gave her a cloth at the time that had anointing oil and said, place on your eye each day for 3 days. And she did, and she was healed completely in 3 days. So we did the same for this man. We gave him the cloth and said, for 3 days, put this over your eye, and you're going to be healed in the name of Jesus. And we still don't know if he was. He's part of the camp. We try to keep, we don't know yet if he was completely healed, but I have faith that he was in the name of Jesus. I just believe that he was. We had a woman whose baby, they had told her she had never felt it kick. They told her that it had died in the womb, and she was 8 months along, and they said eventually that she would like pass the child, but the baby was still there. And basically when they prayed over her, the baby started kicking violently. So amen in the name of Jesus. So it was really cool. The Ugandan interpreter that was praying over her just started jumping and screaming because he's like, oh my God, I felt a kick. I felt the baby kick. Oh my gosh. You know, and the mom's like, they're very, they're not expressive. They're expressive this way. It's funny. But when they get healed, they kind of smile and then they walk away and they're not like, you know, and so Bishop Chuck said Jesus told him a long time ago that when they say they're healed, you believe them. And so when they raise their hand and say, I was healed, then you believe them because it's their way. And so over 80% of the people were healed here too of whatever they came for, whatever they had, whatever they needed. We went out and took the kids out. Karen told Bible stories and I told Bible stories to the kids. And then they made little fish out of pipe cleaners. And they got little pipe cleaner fish to take with them, and the kids thought that was really neat and really cool. That's me. That's us with the kids. And then next one. So this is them standing in their lines waiting to be prayed for. There were probably 7 or 8 of us between the African bishops and things. There were probably 7 or 8 of us that kind of lined up there. Okay, I think that's all of that one. Okay, so next we, day 10, we went to Bishop Hannigan's. This is a CEC-sponsored school, Mount Zion School, which is his school, to meet with the kids. This is the school. I think it's on the next slide. The hyperlink didn't show up. Oh, that's okay. So these are the kids. They were wonderful, wonderful kids. I had a video. I probably just forgot to do the hyperlink for it. A video of them singing. They were singing, Holy Are You God, and they were singing to Bishop Chuck, and it was beautiful. But they were really great kids. All right, there it is. And I forgot that one too. That's okay. All right, so for this, so we're on our way to, after this, we were on our way to the Roman Catholic refugee camp, where the Catholics that were in Congo came to the Catholic Church, so we were going to speak to them. There's a school, a random school, there's schools everywhere, but there's a school with a huge field that we would pass on our way to these churches and stuff, and Father Tuck brought probably 30 or 40 soccer balls with him, and he would pass them out to random kids, and he brought pumps for them and stuff like that. And so we pull the bus over, and we stand on this hill, and Father Tuck just goes and just throws two balls out in the middle of this field. And the kids at first are like, what is happening? Like, who is this guy? And then a kid sees the ball, and he's like, ah! And he, like, screams, and they run after the ball, and the kids are, like, losing their minds because they're playing with a ball that is, like, it's like cardboard wrapped in tape. Not a soccer ball. It's, like, whatever they have kind of a thing. And so bad for the teachers as a former teacher because all the kids then pour out of the classrooms. Everyone comes out of the school. Everyone's in the field. And everyone's, like, freaking out over these soccer balls. And there's two of them. But we find out there's a girls' school and a boys' school. So the girls get a ball, and then the boys get a ball to play with. And this is them. You can kind of see the balls. They're like, I mean, they're just, like, cheering and screaming and, like, oh, my gosh, this is the best thing that's ever happened to me. And they're just really excited. They're very excited. So the African bishops went down there and talked to them and told them the balls came from the Lord and came from Jesus and that, you know, it basically, you know, gave them a short gospel message, and then we left. So it was really neat. Anyway, okay. Also, Bishop Hannigan, one of his priests in his diocese was sick. So on the way, he's like, hold on, stop. And he had a bag of chicken and a bag of corn flour. And we stop at this man's house, and he runs down the hill. I mean, this Bishop Hannigan's got to be like 70. And he was just like trucking it down this like steep hill. And he gives his wife, and he gives her a kiss and a hug, and he hands her the food. And then we get back in the bus, and it was to provide for his priest in his diocese. It was really nice. It was nice to see him do that. So we get to the Roman Catholic. This is their building. And there's way more people outside. And this building is way bigger than it looks in this picture. There were probably another 700 or 800 people here. And we had another service. And had another where we prayed over people and Bishop talked to everyone. And let me make sure I'm not forgetting anything here. So once again, they were very joyful people. The people I prayed for two orphans who had just been recently orphaned in the last like week, because their parents would go back over the border to get food and get supplies, and they would be killed. This woman brought, this guardian brought these two women to me, or two girls to me, and just says, these are orphans, I just need you to pray for them. Like, so once again, we just declared the plans the Lord had for them, plans to prosper them, plans to give them a future and hope. And we, you know, came against and commanded a spirit of affliction to leave, so they would stay healthy. And I believe the Lord did it for them. I believe the Lord is going to take care of them, as he is for all the people that were prayed for. But it was very humbling and very, I mean, I was crying. I'm like bawling. They probably thought there was something wrong with them. Like, why are you crying so much? What's going on? You know, because I'm just like weeping over these children. But I believe the Lord will provide for them. I absolutely do. And then I know you can't see it in this picture, but way in the distance, there's a little black and yellow striped bar that is the border between the Congo and Uganda. And so it's literally like a football field away from us at this point. So there's the border, like right there. And people come across freely. They come and go freely across the border. We got an email from Bishop Gogo last night. I did in my box that said that the Ugandan and Congolese government are now in talks, and they believe that they're going to be able to go back to their homes soon. So that's a blessing. So we'll just have to continue to keep praying for them. So I think that's basically the whole trip. I want to make sure what is understood. People say to me and have said to others that the reason that there's so much healing over there and there's not here is because they're destitute. And while that, I'm not negating that, in my humble opinion, it's not because they're destitute, it's because of their response to their destitution. There's a lot of people in the United States that are destitute, and I mean spiritually destitute. And the Bible tells us in Revelation that the wealthy of the church, I think Smyrna, I could have got it wrong, it might be Thyatira, where they're wealthy, but they're pale, they're pitiable, and they're poor. And so we can be destitute, them physically, us spiritually sometimes, including myself. But it's, why do they see so much healing? It's their response. It's their response to the destitution. How do we respond to our destitution? And their response is forgetting their emotion, forgetting emotions, and saying, Lord, I either believe it or I don't. And they believe it. And if he says it, if it says it, then we believe it. And they believe, and they see healing. It's literally that simple. So coming to, and the wonderful thing is, it's the same God there as is here. It's the same God. It's the same God, the same Spirit, the same healings available, the same love, the same mercy, all the things, right? Same God. And the wonderful thing is that we can choose our response to our destitution. Like, we can choose. We can choose, what is our response going to be? Is it going to be cynicism, which is something to be captured and rebuked? Cynicism is the opposite of childlikeness. Or are we going to choose, you know what? I see all this stuff around. I'm choosing childlikeness. I'm choosing this. I'm choosing faith. Whether I feel like it or not, I'm choosing it. And then we see healing. And then we see miraculous things. So that was my personal takeaway this trip. So thank you.